Was okay. So welcome everyone to episode 2 of Soul Body Conversations here at Soul Body Ojai, a healing collective based in Ojai, California. We are your practitioners, and we will be talking about something very interesting today, and I just want to introduce ourselves. My name is Sharmila Molly. I'm a Reiki master teacher and coach. And this is...
My name is Allison Aiken, and I am a healer. I work with the breath and energy healing.
I'm Tara, and I'm an acupuncturist and yoga teacher and meditative healer.
And I'm Andrea Bartlemeyer, and I work with emotions as well as help business owners balance the masculine and feminine in their business is my latest iteration of my work. Happy to be here.
Thank you for joining us. So I thought, in honor of Samhain, as it's pronounced, or Samhain, that we would talk about the subject of entities. Samhain is a Gaelic festival, a pagan festival that celebrates autumn, celebrates the dead. They also honor those that have passed. And it's actually, this festival is celebrated in some different way. Like Catholics call it All Souls Day, which was brought over to Mexico and celebrated as Day of the Dead. So I just thought it'd be appropriate for our upcoming October 31st, November 1st and 2nd to talk about any ghost stories, personal ghost stories that we have, any entity clearings that have come up in any of your sessions. And especially since we're all empathic, any interesting things that have come up as an empath. And that's what I'll be sharing. So I don't know if anybody wanted to go first or had any thoughts about that, what entities are.
Well, let's talk about what entities are maybe, okay. Because I'm not sure that everyone's familiar with those. And I think that's the general term in the healing world, spiritual world, that we use for, how would we talk about it? So what I know an entity to be is an energy that sort of attaches to a person, and it can be a darker energy, and it tends to attach to a person based on a vulnerability or a wound or a dark place in themselves, whether they know it consciously or unconsciously, and sort of feeds off their energy field. And there can be one entity, there can be many entities. And it's visible by some healers and spiritual types, and not to me. I can't see entities, but I'd love to hear if any of you have another definition of that.
Yeah, I would agree with your definition. My understanding is that we all carry some form of these energies that aren't really our true self, who we really are. And in the work that I do, what I've noticed is it's usually some type of feeling or energy that gets projected on us. Like, you know, for example, when you're a child and somebody says you're fat or you're stupid or you're ugly, and it's almost as if you like breathe in that thought form or that idea, and you know it's not true, but you kind of hold on to that, and that often can be what lingers in the body, just like this. It's like a thought form or an idea. And so for me, when I think about, you know, releasing energies or, working with this entities, it's not like white ghosts, you know, on Halloween. That's not how I personally think of it. I think of it more as a vibration that's not the frequency of love. It's not the frequency of somebody's true self. It's a lower frequency, and it's an idea or an energy that's bringing somebody down and preventing them from stepping into their authentic self fully and expressing themselves fully and being in their power, being in their light. And so for me, it's not like a bad thing. It's not scary. It's just kind of like brushing your teeth. You know, it's just like energetic clearing to get yourself to who you really are even more.
I'm curious because I'm not a specialist in entities by any means. So I'm curious to hear everyone's opinion on this, but I have not heard that everyone carries entities. What I've heard most often is that, we all carry, of course, wounds and negative patterns and negative thought forms, but there is sort of an attachment of an energy outside oneself that some people do carry and is particularly troublesome, is particularly difficult for the person to get through that when it's this kind of entity. And I see those entities as a little different from a clearing of an emotion or a clearing of a past life pattern or something like that. And I'd be curious what the rest of you feel about that.
Yeah, I think that you bring up a good point. There's definitely a different level to it when we're talking about, you know, emotional patterning and what we're carrying. And that could be thought of course, as a kind of energy. And yet the entity, I think, is a little bit more significant. In Chinese medicine, it is, anyway, because we all have different emotional components. But entities can actually be picked up, you know, we can feel it on the pulse and in someone's behavior. And as empaths, we can usually sense it to a certain degree. It'll be an energy that takes over in some way, someone's life, decision-making capabilities and so forth. And it usually does happen due to trauma when the energetic field is open. So it could be something like a car accident, but usually it's something traumatic emotionally that disturbs the energetic field that would allow other kinds of energies to come in some way and anchor into the energy field. There's an actual split or shattering of the energy.
Mm-hmm.
So it is usually something that's a traumatic, severe emotional abuse is one of those things that can cause that too.
Thank you, Tara. I just looked up entity online on dictionary.com. So something that has a real existence, thing, corporeal entities, being or existence, especially when considered as distinct, independent, or self-contained. And then the third definition is essential nature. The entity of justice is universality. But I think both are valid, especially when you put it in that definition, what Allison, what she considers entities, because they can definitely grow into a whole thing of its own. And then there are those that are disembodied, to me, like a spirit or something that gets attached to you too. And sometimes that can be scary. Sometimes they both can be, sometimes thought forms can be really scary. And sometimes, but I like your perspective. You always have such an interesting perspective, Allison. So, but I think both are definitely valid. And as more people do energy healing, I think these definitions become more, things get added to it, defining something like an entity. And It feels like it's just things are changing. It's not just this one solely defined entity, to use that as a pun. So with that being said, should we launch into any stories of...
Stories or treatments, like how are you as a practitioner working with this, or have you worked with it? We have a whole protocol around this in Chinese medicine. I'm not a specialist. I can pick this up, usually in the demeanor and then again on the pulse. So the pulse will actually demonstrate more than one energy in the field. Okay, so the pulse will oscillate quite a bit if there's an adjacent energy. And we can feel this with pregnancy too. So it's a different pulse though, but there will be—
Interesting.
A separate pulse that goes on with pregnancy or possession, as it was called. So there is a protocol, and if we sense that as acupuncturists, if we sense that, then we're told and instructed that is the very first style of acupuncture procedure that we do. So unless they're, they absolutely need something else in that moment, which, if a patient comes in with a possession pulse, and it doesn't happen too often because, of course, entities aren't interested in being purged. So if they can actually get there on the table, it's a big deal. It's a really big deal. And you may never see them again, especially if you do some kind of other treatment or talk to them about what's going on in their life. So we do that procedure first. And then if they come back, if it's still showing up, it's usually showing up weaker. We keep doing it again and again and again until it's clear. Usually one time we'll do it, and then we can go into the other procedures. I have seen this pulse several times, and interestingly, I can feel the energy field in so much that it will wants to convince me that there's something else more important to treat. And so I've learned this over time, not to listen to that and just get in there and do that one piece of work, and don't listen to the energy. And they'll try to convince you too, that it's really the back pain, or it's really the sprained ankle, or the digestive issue that needs to be addressed right now. And when we don't listen to ourselves, then, you never see them again. So, one really interesting patient I had around this, the pulse was distinct. The intake with the lifestyle and what was going on in their life, it was all like punching just red flags all over the place. And I'm very close to this person. And so I didn't see a lot of this until I actually had them on the table and in more of a clinical perspective. And when I started to work on this patient, shirt was off, face down, and there was a massive tattoo on this person's back of the face of a demon.
Oh my gosh.
All the way down.
Wow.
His back. Yeah. I get to see him here and there. I haven't seen him for a couple of years. We did do the one treatment, never saw him again. I see him around, but not on the treatment table. So, there's a lot of work still that needs to be done there. But talk about, it being, you're looking at it straight in the face, as I'm working. It was just phenomenal to have literally a demon on his back.
Wow. Well, what comes to mind for me is the movie The Exorcist. Scariest movie ever.
can't watch that stuff.
So. Oh my God. I saw it in college kind of unexpectedly. It was like being shown in between my classes on Halloween, and I happened to just step in to this movie, and I walked away. I remember like walking like a zombie for the whole rest of the day. Like, what? But that movie is a very great depiction of a priest attempting to exorcise a demon from someone. And that's sort of what that whole thing is about. And classically, you know, coming from the Christian background that I do, that would be the protocol in the church was an exorcism of a demon. And there's different kind of protocols that you do for that. I've never done that. But interestingly, what I found out recently, well, first of all, what I heard about the movie The Exorcist is that after filming, they filmed the movie in like the third floor of some hospital. And after filming the movie, that floor of the hospital, so many crazy things were happening. They had to close that floor of the hospital down and never use it again. And also, unfortunately, the young girl who played the girl in The Exorcist, she actually ended up having severe mental illnesses after playing that role. And I think we're really, you know, I say that because this is real, you know, and it can be really tragic to see these things at play in people we love. And in the church, so exorcism was the go-to. And interestingly, there was a type of entity that even the priests acknowledged that they were not able to remove with a standard exorcism. And so they would call the shamans. Shamans have a whole series of technologies actually to cut out these entities, especially ones from other dimensions and from other cosmologies. And so I have found that shamans tend to do the best work with entities because they are so well trained in it. And they use a particular kind of, I've seen it with a certain kind of crystal and a certain cutting of with a knife and a process where they bury it and they clear the energy and they clear the space and they do a bunch of ritual around really bringing that soul piece back into the person's body so there isn't that vacancy for an energy to reattach. And I think that's the work of the shaman, is to call the parts of the soul that have split off back into the body. And so when I have seen entities, actually, I interestingly had someone call me this week about it. And it was a person who had been struggling with a catatonic person, and the catatonia resulted from some deep trauma and also a car accident. So it was emotional trauma as well as physical trauma. And you can apply as many modalities as you want. In this case, they had tried many, many things. They had tried all kinds of healing and, of course, psychotic and mental health treatments as well. And at the end of the day, you know, my advice to this person was, this is a soul level issue. This person gets to decide in this lifetime if they're wanting to come back into their body, because they've been so splintered and so split off from the trauma. And so the work really is of that shamanic nature at the soul level, of really asking that soul if it would like to be one, be whole and come back. And so I recommended some shamans to her, and interestingly also recommended John of God, which I've never recommended with to anyone, but he intuitively came up as someone who might be able to help her. So I take it pretty seriously. I think that there's different levels, of course, as we were talking about, of entities, and some people can clear them more easily than others. And I think that I have cleared some entities in my work, but I would say more, I don't feel very equipped to do it. I don't think that's my specialty either. So that's some of my experience with that.
Just
so interesting because it's like you actually get a call from somebody that says, you know, I'm working with possible possession. You know, for me, all cases, they're not announced.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more of like it's just something that's sensed in the field. Mm-hmm. And it isn't anything that the person would speak to. So this is somebody that knows the person?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And she didn't call saying he has an entity. She just called telling me the symptoms, and I sensed.
Got it.
That, I mean, I knew that it was an entity based on some of the symptoms that she was telling me, and based on the persistence of the nature of what was happening. And there's a really interesting, video documentary called, I think it's called The Exorcism of Emily Rose.
Mm-hmm.
And have you seen it?
I saw the movie, which was.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So it's a really interesting discussion in the movie. It's a court trial. And they're discussing this woman who has an entity like we're talking about. And there's a psychiatrist and there's a priest on trial, and they're both like fighting for their own perspective. And the psychiatrist is saying, like, this is not an entity, this is a mental illness, and we need to treat this with drugs. And then the priest is saying, this is absolutely an entity. And I'll give up the ending of the movie to say that she dies, because I always think of that movie. They played that movie for us in seminary, which is really interesting, because this is a dialogue in our culture about. And this is something I warned the woman who called me, like, don't take a million paths down. Like, don't follow every single, she was doing acupuncture. She was doing psychiatrist. She was doing different kinds of massage and somatic work. And if you go down every single one of those paths, it does tend to confuse the energy body. And I feel like there's a lot, like, if you choose the path of treatment, take that path of treatment and believe in it and wholeheartedly allow that to be what you're working with. But in the movie, what they're saying is because she was doing both, neither worked. She was doing both the drugs and the exorcism. And because she had tried to do both, she basically died because those entities just took over and she wasn't able. It was like a split.
Yeah. Well, pharmaceuticals will keep the deep work, the soul work from happening.
Mm-hmm.
That's something we see again and again with multiple treatment modalities, even things like, you know, cancer.
Mm-hmm. So,
you know, you really can't go 100% into the soul dynamic of it if you're covering it up over here with pharmaceutical.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is. To have it back to that movie, it's very disturbing. It's a really good movie on top of that. And it had a really good message, actually, too.
I would love to hear, because it's been probably 8 years or 10 years since I've watched it.
I don't remember, but it was something to do with, like, that whole experience stood for just believing in God and humanity and just remembering your own humanity, something of it. It was just a really, you know, like, it wasn't, her death wasn't tragic. She had this experience and it was depicted. And anyway, but my entity experience working with someone, I have two stories I wanted to share. One was a long time ago. I had a friend, we were doing a trade, and she had come back from a weekend that she spent, she's also an energy healer. And she said, you know, they were drinking, and I told them not to be drinking. And she was there working on seven people for the whole weekend. And she felt kind of trapped and obligated because she was there, and they brought her up there. And she said that she had worked with her teacher, and she said it was still there. So like halfway through the session, something came up, and it was really interesting because because it was trying to shut me down because I was vocalizing like you were uninvited and you need to leave. And I kept saying that over and over, and I found myself like tripping over my words, not being able to get it out, and feeling like something constricting my throat. And that's when I got a little scared, because I was like, oh wait. And I was just, and then that made me angry, because I was just like, no, we belong here. You're uninvited. You need to return back to love. And finally, I just kept saying that, and it did eventually leave. I think she had one more session with her, someone we both knew, who was no longer alive, for different reasons. I think that definitely helped take a chunk, and then he did the rest. And then as an empath, and this stuff only happened, I'm from Nepal originally, and when I go back to visit my family, my extended family, this only happens there, that I've experienced curses, I've experienced, like ghostly entity things. The building I was living in my family home, I was on the second floor, and there was a ground floor, and that's where our housekeeper, he was living with the family since he was like 20. So he was kind of like my grandfather, because he was that much older than me. And so he was living in that room. And at that point, this was like 15, 16 years ago, he was kind of disabled. There was something wrong with his legs and he couldn't really walk. I think it was really arthritic. And so for like, I don't know, like 6 weeks, I'm directly above him. And this all makes sense now. But it took me like a month to realize what was going on. And at that time, I had been introduced to Reiki, and I take my Reiki level 1 class. So it was like maybe 8 or 9 months into that. But before that, I had experienced, you know, obviously lots of different types of energy, and knew something was not new. I would always know if something was amiss energetically. And so when I would go to sleep, my legs would just ache, and just this weird ache. I was like, what is going on? Is it the altitude? I was like, I don't know. And I was telling my uncle, I was like, I don't know what's happening. Like, well, did you eat something? No, I don't know what it was. Anyway, so like for, I don't know how long, I think it was like 6 weeks, every night I'm going to sleep, and and then I wake up, I'm like, oh, why am I leg? And then I realized, oh, it's Kancha. It's him down below. And this is the pain that he's feeling and radiating. I'm experiencing that because I'm directly above him. And the way I cleared it was like, this is not mine.
Mm-hmm.
Really simple. This is not mine. And then something else happened a few months later, which I thought maybe was him. He wasn't dead, but so the blankets in Nepal are all handmade and stuffed with cotton. So they're really heavy and very warm. and so it's heavy. Like it has a very, it's not like a comforter. I just stress this because it's a very heavy blanket. And so this is a completely different story. So after that experience, a few months later down the road, I'm going to sleep, and I wake up because I feel something pulling this heavy blanket off my feet. And I was just like kind of frozen, like, and and then I just immediately just said, you're not invited. Like, you need to go. Something about you're not invited. You need to leave. I don't want you here. And then it just dropped. And then that was it. So those are my two experiences that come to mind. Three experiences, I guess. And you, do you have any?
Well, I just wanted to circle back to a few of the points that you guys have made that I think are really important with iterating you're not invited. You know, I think there's this idea of our soul and our free will, and when working with this type of energy of clearing it with people, you know, I also, you know, emphasize that point, you know, that asking the patient, you know, are you ready to release this? Do you choose to let this go? You know, tell this energy it's not welcome. I don't want you here, you know, and remind yourself, remind the patient, remind the universe that we have free will. We can choose to let go of this, you know, and on some soul level, somewhere, some part of their consciousness, you know, like brought that in or let it attach to it. And usually it's subconscious and we don't realize we're doing it or we don't even want it, but looking at, you know, taking back your power, claiming your space, clearing your energy field, realigning with who you are, realigning with your connection to your higher self, God, source, you know, whatever, the light. And that's what it's really about. It's about like taking back your power, clearing that energy, telling it it's not wanted. And like several of you mentioned, you know, this energy, to me, it's very slippery. It's very tricky. Telling you, oh, you know, there's other things to work on right now. Don't try and work on this, you know, or like, that's exactly how this energy works. Mm-hmm. And making you starting to feel scared or not being able to voice your opinion. Or so for me, whenever, you know, I'm working with trying to clear this energy, it's always important to, you know, center back to truth, center back to the light, center back to, you know, your faith, your confidence, your connection to love, because this energy, usually it wants to be feeding off of somebody, you know, it's like a parasite, and it feels like it's going to die if it gets out of the body. It's using this other person's energy field to suck their energy, and it's living off of their life force. And so when you come in and you're like, I'm going to kick you out of there, it starts freaking out. And it's like, oh my God, I'm going to die. And I have to stay connected to this person because I am getting life force from this person. And if I get kicked out of this person, I'm going to die, you know, or what's going to happen to me. And so that's kind of, you're like fighting this battle with this energy to be like, you're not welcome. Get out of here. This is not a free lunch. And, you know, you need to leave. And so that's kind of my experience with it. And always just working with love, you know, working with love, centering in on love. Like, to me, the frequency of love, oneness, source, God, higher power, light, you know, however you choose to define it. There's lots of words you can use, but for me, that's where the power is. And so that's where the healing is. And that's what we're all striving to connect to. And that's where we are whole and we're one and we're God's source. We are the light. And so that's the strength that I draw from when working with this energy is, mm-hmm. You're not welcome. You're not of this frequency. We're asking you to please leave.
Go
ahead.
I didn't want to cut you off, but I think you make a really good point, Allison, which is that not to come from fear, not to be afraid of the entities, and allow love to know that love is stronger than fear. It's stronger than any of this, because we some of us have programming that allows this to feel very scary, this topic, but it is, fear actually feeds into the energy and kind of allows it to have more power. Appreciate your points.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so when we start going into the fear, that's when it's getting strength. It feeds off mm-hmm. of the fear. And often, you know, just asking the person, what age did this come in? Again, there's usually usually people, I find, pick up some type of negative energies, and maybe it's just negative energy and not necessarily an entity, depending on how you define things. But, you know, in childhood, when things go wrong and there's a trauma, and so, you know, just going to that point in time and reprogramming your child self or your whatever happened, whatever trauma happened, if energy enters you at that point, you know, going back to that point in time, like with your mind or on a spirit level, and comforting yourself, loving yourself, being like, I know you didn't know any better at that time and you thought this energy might help you. Like, a lot of people subconsciously think this is going to support them and be good. They get confused and they think subconsciously that this energy is like helping them, and really it's about going back and reclaiming that moment in time and being like, okay, now I know better. I've learned my lesson. I realize I don't need you. I'm choosing to release you from my body, and I'm choosing to be connected to love again.
Yes. I actually have another story to share that I think might be helpful to people. So I want to share it, which is that I struggled immensely with nightmares and night terrors for the first, till I was about 20, in my early 20s. I mean, these were like really horrible, where I was screaming and sleepwalking, and I jumped out windows. I used my elbow to bust through and break the glass on a window when I couldn't get out of a room once. I mean, really scary nightmares I had of people following me, stalking me. It was a very psychic experience of what we're talking about. Felt like demons and things. And for years, I could only sleep on the first floor of a building because I would jump out windows because that was my go-to of escaping. And so it was a big thing for me for like 10 years. And I learned to overcome them. Finally, one day, I remember I happened to be on a second floor of a building, and I was looking out over the window. I was quote unquote sleeping. I don't know what state exactly I was in, but I was looking out over the cement sidewalk, like I was going to jump out of this window. And I realized that I don't think I would have died, but it would have not have been a good situation. And so I turned around, and something in me, I felt this flood of like 1,000 black shadows coming towards me. And that was what I was so afraid of. And I turned around and I said, back off. And it was like, literally in that moment, I claimed my power. And I wasn't afraid of these things anymore. I wasn't running from them anymore. I wasn't afraid of them. And they disappeared immediately. And I was like, oh. And so I had to have a couple battles with these things over the next year or so, where they would come to me at night and I would be like, you don't belong here, you know, leave me. And it was like a very strong voice I needed to use. But eventually, I remember punching at them, and I sometimes would punch over my bedside lamp while I was like air punching at these entities to stay away. But eventually they never came back. I learned to speak my voice and claim my power. And that was a huge learning for me. But I think it symbolizes what we're doing with these entities, whether they're nightmares or night terrors or not, but like really claiming, this is my space, this is my body. I belong here. I think I ended up doing in the name of Christ and in the name of love. And I would do it in the names of different things if I was afraid. And that really helped me as well. So I'm sharing that in case someone's struggling with that level of entity.
Wow. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. That's jumping out of windows. That's so, I don't know, traumatic.
No.
So would you wake up and be like, what am I doing out here?
Well, the worst one I remember, I was at my parents' home, and I lived on the first floor, but I took a sheet and I wrapped it around my elbow, and I literally like blasted through with like, this was very conscious. I blasted through the window and jumped out a broken window. But my mom would like routinely find my screens popped out and on the ground outside, and I would have like landed on the grass and then walked into the house in the middle of the night. Yeah, it was pretty intense.
Wow. There's a really funny comedian. I don't know if you've ever heard it. He had night terrors and he does a whole stand up about it. Mm-hmm. Mike Birbiglio. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
No.
It's kind of interesting to be able to look at it through the lens of comedy. Reminded me of that.
Sometimes all you could do is laugh at it.
Yeah, that's scary. Yeah, mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that. And to me, you just voiced really what I feel is the truth of all of this. It's about claiming our power. Mm-hmm. And something that I'm realizing with doing the healing work, with all the healing work that we do, with all of our patients, with ourselves, to me, life is really about finding who we really are, finding our truth, finding our strength, and then declaring that, speaking that, owning that, letting people see you and know you for who you really are. And this is exactly the same thing as of how you deal with these energies that aren't yours, that are attached to you. It's about claiming your power, speaking your truth. You can look at it as an opportunity, you know, instead of like, oh my God, this is so scary, I'm so afraid, which most of us tend to go to fear whenever this subject is brought up. And you know, I suggest people using this outlook for all trauma and pain and suffering in life. Instead of the why me, why is this happening to me? This is so horrible. I'm so afraid. What is the lesson? What is the teaching? Why did my soul bring this to me? What did I have to learn? You know, and so, for example, you saying no, you claiming your space and pushing this energy away, like that is so powerful. And that has been a gift. You had to suffer all of these years with this terror, you know, and not sleeping. But through that, the lesson that came from that, the amount of strength and confidence and power and knowing who you really are, you know, that to me is the truth. That's the purpose of all of this. Finding who we are, claiming our space, aligning with light, God, source, and telling everybody else you're not welcome here. That is our power.
Yeah. That's a really good note to, I think, end this whole conversation on.
I have a question, actually. Mm-hmm. Just if we can quickly go around and speak to, now if you've worked with clients that have had this experience and you've worked with this energy, whether it is that you're releasing an actual entity or you're releasing these emotional states, what kinds of advice are you giving your clients afterward to keep the stability of the new energy field? Because for me, that's just as important, that we're continuing to teach them how to stay in that power center and approach life with love, but also how to elevate their energy field and avoid these situations where this kind of energy exists, which is a lower vibrational field. So staying away from certain kinds of, you know, circumstances, basically people, drugs, alcohol, these kinds of things that open up the energy field to negative experience. Mm-hmm. Meditation, staying in the center, eating well. Of course, I think Kundalini yoga is phenomenal for this. What kinds of other things do you advise your clients to do?
I think a lot of what Allison was saying was something that I always, you know, just to remain grounded and clean, especially if there's boundary issues, whether it be with entities or entities of actual people and their energies being projected onto you, is is just exactly what she was saying, is just claiming who you are, claiming your space, claiming your connection to your source, whatever that is, and practicing that of like, you are uninvited, and I declare love. I am in love, and I declare that love will push this out. I think I've said it in different ways, but basically, like, I agree wholeheartedly with what Allison is saying, because that's always what triumphs in the end, is creating that bubble of unbreakable, unconditional love, so that anything that comes at you is just gets absorbed in that unconditional love, and claiming your space, owning it. Like, this is mine, and you are not welcome. So go back to where you fucking came from. That's what I would say.
Well, yeah, and I think what Tara is saying, though, is how do we stay in that state of love, you know, beyond the session,
right, and really, right.
Yeah, and really solidify, because we can say that we're in love, and we can also have behaviors that invite a lower vibration. In my clients, the more subtlety of it has been more often than not that people take on other people's emotional energy. So a wife takes on a husband's energy, and it gets so combined in her own that she has really lost who she is. Mm-hmm. And I actually see that as being subtle and very dangerous, especially because women, we tend to be more diffuse in our energy field and pick up our kids' vibration or our boss or things like that. And to be really conscious, this is something I always tell my clients. If you are going, there's a saying, what would it be like to be in someone else's shoes? And I say, if you are leaving your energy field and going over to someone else's energy field and feeling what it feels like to be them, that is an energetically not healthy emotional place to be, because you're leaving how you feel, you're leaving your orientation to the world, and you're trying to feel the world through someone else so that you can respond differently to them, because you are almost spying on them or looking into how they feel. Empaths will do this unconsciously very easily. And that's actually not healthy. Stay in your perspective, stay in your body, and know what you know, and communicate through your voice. Because that's how you start entangling your energy with other people's energy. And it can really take you down, and it can be very confusing, because you now don't know what you think. You know what he thinks, what she thinks, what your boss thinks, what your listeners and audience think, but you are not staying in yourself. And that's where your energetic clarity is when you're aligned with yourself. So that's one that I see all the time, and I think needs to be better understood.
Yeah, I always just say, it's just as simple as asking a question, like, is this mine? Mm-hmm. Is this person's? I just kind of, you know, just asking yourself that. And then if it's yours, can you let it go? If it's someone else's, can you let that go? And starting from there, that's something I always add to as a prescription of, especially as, because so many people are empathic and get really freaked out and scared because they are so used to absorbing all these other emotions unconsciously, and it creates a lot of anxiety. And it's just like, the first thing is take a breath. And when you feel like this is not, there's something not right here, just asking, is this mine? Can I let it go?
Yeah, I would say suggestions that I have for people after doing a clearing like this is grounding, you know, bare feet on the earth. Anytime you start to feel energies that's not yours, you can send it down into the earth. You know, I do a lot of work of connecting with the earth, giving your energies that aren't yours back to the earth. And the way I see it is she transmutes that into the grass, into the flowers, and it's not like a negative energy to the earth. It's just energy. I work a lot with grounding, cleansing your energetic field, smudging, using crystals, going in the ocean or taking salt baths. All of that is really good, especially if you've had a traumatic, you know, day, or, you know, dealing with anger in people. If you really need to cleanse yourself, just being proactive so that something doesn't build, you know, so keeping a clean energetic hygiene is really important. Grounding, cleansing, and then also love and compassion for yourself. Anytime you start to feel yourself slipping or going into anger or fear, looking at the root of that. Well, what am I afraid of? What am I angry with? And trying to find, you know, the little girl in you, and loving the little girl or the little boy, and re-centering on, you know, it's okay. I'm safe. It's safe to be in my body. It's safe to feel these feelings. I am a being of love and light, you know, and remind yourself that, because a lot of times people start to feel these uncomfortable things and they go straight to fear, and then it doesn't clear it. It, you know, feeds on that energy. So allow yourself, if you start to feel uncomfortable, if you start to feel like something might be coming into you, let yourself move that energy out. Feel those feelings, feel the anger, feel the rage, feel the sadness. Let it go through you, process through you, and recenter back to love and ground and clear. And your daily practice, I totally agree. Whatever your daily practice is, mm-hmm. yoga, meditation, qigong, prayer, it's so important to have a regular spiritual practice. And I see this a lot with clients, is that people often don't prioritize their spiritual life. You know, there's time to brush your teeth every day, but there's not time for 5 minutes of meditation, you know? And, when we can learn to put our self-love and our connection to our spiritual life top on the priority list, your whole life can change.
Wonderful. Thank you. All right. Do you think that's a great place to conclude, Sharmila?
Yes, I think so. So thank you all for sharing your personal stories and your wisdom. This is Soul Body Conversations at Soul Body Ojai. And we'll see you next time. Say bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.